Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two great guests. First is Carol Malice. She is the contributing author of the great new book, Teeing Up for Success, Insights and Inspiration from Extraordinary Women, and is presented by the Executive Women's Golfing Association Foundation. Carol is going to be speaking about how golf mirrors work and life and how it can lead to your success. Then we're going to be speaking with Nancy Kozik, certified etiquette and protocol expert and trainer from the Nancy Kozik Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette, is going to be talking about how to make positive first impression in business. And we are talking today with Carol Malice. She's the contributing editor of the new great book, Teeing Up for Success, Insights and Inspirations from Extraordinary Women. It's presented by the EWGA Foundation, a golfing foundation that we're going to talk a lot about today. Carol, welcome to the show.
Great to be on the show, David. Thank you.
Great. Hey, you know, this is quite a book. I had an opportunity over the weekend to skim through it, and I read your chapter especially. But, you know, it's unusual to see books that are produced by almost, what is it, about over 30 different women wrote in this book. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how did this idea come about? Tell me a little bit about this book and the success you're having with it.
Sure. Well, as you know, women haven't been on the golf course as much or as long as men, but they're beginning to understand that being on the golf course is important to business relationships and building those relationships. And so the Executive Women's Golf Association was designed, just as the name implies, for executive women who want to learn how to play golf and have golf as a business tool. And the foundation is part of the Executive Women's Golf Association, and the foundation specifically raises money for scholarships for young women to be able to pursue college educations so that they can have successful business careers and play golf. And so this book is really a project of the foundation to enable that to happen. And the 30 authors were all invited to ask if they'd like to share their story, their personal story, about how golf has impacted their life and their business careers.
And that's really what the book is kind of about, how golf mirrors life, mirrors work, mirrors an individual's careers and aspirations. You talk a little bit about that in your chapter, and we'll get to that. But one of the things I find interesting about this is your discussion about women on the golf course. So maybe you can tell the audience how you have found that to be so successful and why.
Yes, well, I started playing golf about 20 years ago. I can't believe it's that many years already, but when I started to play golf, I started by myself, and I took lessons by myself, and I started to practice on the course by myself, and I was amazed at how few women there were on the golf course, and also how difficult it was to not feel like you were intimidated or didn't belong on the golf course because you just didn't see other women at a beginner's level the way that I was. So what I found was that there were probably other women like myself who wanted to learn how to play, who probably had husbands or boyfriends who played golf and played very well and felt that they couldn't start to play because they really didn't have the experience or the confidence really to play. So in my experience, I said, there's got to be a way for women like me who want to learn how to play to find other women who want to learn how to play. And through a mutual colleague, we discovered there was the Executive Women's Golf Association and that they had chapters all over the country, but there wasn't a chapter in Rhode Island. So we decided we would start up the Rhode Island chapter, which we did in 2005, and we grew very quickly because there was so much interest in learning how to play golf. And it's a particularly great tool for people who do business development, attorneys, accountants, financial planners, people who really are building relationships. And so it's a really great tool to build community, to build a client base, and also to gain new friends. So one of the stories we love to tell is about one of our colleagues who worked, consistently worked 12-hour days, and we finally got her to get out on the golf course and have not only a business life, but a business and golf life at the same time.
You have many inspirational messages throughout the entire chapter, and there are throughout the whole book. Do you find that this book and its story is inspiring more women to be able to do what you're talking about doing through this program?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, whenever I talk to someone about playing golf, they've always had an interest in playing golf, but they were just like me. They really didn't know how to go about it. They felt like they might be too old, it might be too late, or if they're a younger professional, they don't know anyone else who is playing golf. They know that only the men in their organization play, so they're not sure how to break the paradigm that they can't play as well. So both for young and older women, this book is a tool in the fact that it has stories about how each person, each of these 30 women, faced some kind of barrier or some situation that they had to overcome in order to really experience golf and to learn to love it and to enjoy it and to feel comfortable on the golf course. And I think one of the things that happens for women who are reaching senior management level roles is that they're often asked to play in a corporate golf outing, and they feel like they'd like to be there, but they're not confident enough to do that. And so more and more women, as they reach more positions of senior level management, are realizing that they do need to be on the golf course. And so an organization like EWJ is a very helpful vehicle for learning how to do that.
In your chapter, which is chapter 5, Staying the Course in Golf and in Life, the first quote right here says, "Golf is the closest game to the game we call life. You get bad breaks from good shots, you get good breaks from bad shots, but you have to play the ball where it lies." And that's Bobby Jones.
Yes.
So, you know, that really rings true, I think, to most professionals that are out there, where they have to take the hand that they're dealt, right? Whether it's at work, at home, personally, professionally, whatever it is. And golf does mirror that.
Yes, it does. I think I love the parallel of golf to life, and that's really what my chapter looks at, because there are so many parallels like that, that when you're playing golf and you're learning how to hit the ball and you have that thrilling moment where you hit it well and you all of a sudden you're brilliant and you say, "Oh, I knew I was brilliant, but I just needed this opportunity to
yes.
prove it to myself." And that is what hooks you on wanting to play, that you know within yourself you have this wonderful potential, you can do it, and sometimes it just happens, and then you realize, yes, I can. And so I think when people have a moment like that, both men and women on the golf course, that's really when they get hooked. And it translates to your work. You realize that I can do the same thing at work, at the office, at my company. I can do something that's really outstanding, something that's true to me, that works for the company, that works for me. And so that parallel is really what it's even more fun to play, and even more fun to play with business colleagues who are all experiencing that at some level.
Well, in that chapter, you talk about how Staying the Course in Golf and Life describes how I found in my work that successful executives and professionals follow 5 basic principles. And you go through the five being: begin with a vision, master adversity, develop resilience, act confidence, and finish strong. How about giving us an overview here of those 5? And I will say, we are talking with Carol Malice today. She is the contributing author of Teeing Up for Success. By the way, she does have a day job. She's a vice president and executive coach with a company called New Directions in Boston, Massachusetts. We'll talk a little about that later. But, you know, let's talk about these 5 basic principles. Want to go through them?
Sure. Sure. Well, these principles really, I learned these principles not only through my career, but also in coaching executives, that in order for you to be really successful, you have to have some kind of vision of what it is you're trying to accomplish or what it is you'd like to have happen. And that has to be a personal vision. So learning how to figure out what is that personal vision, defining it, writing it down, having it as an inspiration is really the big picture way of where am I going and how am I going to get there. But of course, like with anything, once you have a vision like that, lots of obstacles pop up in your way. So that's just how life is. You think things are going to go smoothly, and then Murphy's Law happens and all kinds of things happen that you didn't expect. And so there are problems you have to solve. And so it's really learning how to solve them in a positive, aggressive kind of way of using your energy to solve these problems so that you can realize your vision. I think a lot of people find that when obstacles get put in their way, they tend to retreat or they tend to question themselves or the direction they're going in, and realizing that these are just parts of the roadmap, that there is a way to solve these problems and to move on. So that's really the second part.
Yeah, that's
that
mastering adversity. And you have a paragraph in here. I'll just read it quickly. It says, golf is an incredibly difficult game. High expectations combined with passion can yield immense frustration when your round doesn't turn out the way you had imagined it. However, it only takes one great shot to make all the pain and disappointment go away, and that's what keeps us coming back.
Yes. It is really, really frustrating. If you've practiced, if you've taken lessons, if you've done everything you possibly can to be ready to play, and you go out and one day you have a terrible round and the ball goes in the woods or it hits the rocks or it hits the water sprinkler and bounces onto the next fairway, everything that possibly can go wrong goes wrong. And it's really how you deal with that and how you master that. And that's why I love watching golf on television. Many people find it boring, but if you watch the incredible shots they make when they're in tough situations, I find those really inspiring and great examples of problem solving.
Well, you said, yeah, it certainly is. And that's the third part, developing resilience.
Yes. Yes. So when you're in the situation, it's how you handle it. It's, do you handle it with in a cool, calm, and collective way, or do you get frustrated and throw your golf clubs? And we've seen people do that, even on television, throw their golf clubs into the water or hit the ground with their golf club. And golf is really designed to be a sport where there's good etiquette and manners. And so part of being a champion, I think, on the golf course is understanding that and being a leader and demonstrating behavior that other people will want to follow. So that's also part of it.
Sure, and that's the fourth one, acting confident, right?
Yes, so you have to, even if you're having a bad day and all your shots are going in all different directions or whatever is happening, you have to find that zone that you have, that each person has, and try to get back into that zone so that you can turn it around. And I think that's a very challenging lesson, just like in life. How am I going to turn this around? And so if you're angry or frustrated, that energy is not conducive to turning it around and moving forward. So really learning how to manage yourself, manage your emotions, and go back to that vision. What am I trying to do? What's my vision? Where's the ball supposed to go? What do I need to do to make that happen? Those are all the same thing that you have at work is what you have on the golf course.
And that, of course, leads to number five, finishing strong.
Right. So if you have had that bad round and you never were able to turn it around throughout the round, you have 18 chances, 18 holes to and more, to more shots on each of those holes, but you have a lot of opportunity to turn around, and some days it's just not going to turn around, and so you have to be able to manage that. It's the hardest thing when you're first learning how to play is not to go home dejected or ready to quit, because what inevitably happens is you hit that shot and it could be the last shot of the day, and it's brilliant, and you say, well, how do I just keep repeating that? How do I do that again? How do I make that happen the next time I come out on the course? So finishing strong is really important, but again, it starts with your vision. If you have the vision, then you'll know when you're finishing that you either still have the vision and you have to work a little bit differently or gain some expertise in some areas that you may not have. And so you go back and practice on building those skills that you need to be able to finish strong.
And we're talking today with Carol Malish. She is the contributing author of Teeing Up for Success, Insights and Inspiration from Extraordinary Women. We're talking about golf. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional.
Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are today talking with Carol Malish. She is the contributing author of Teeing Up for Success, an amazing, awesome, and fantastic book, which you should be buying on Amazon.com right now. If you aren't anywhere near a phone, you can be able to get on Amazon and buy that book, because it really is an awesome book. Did I promote it enough for you, Carol?
You did.
Okay. But no, it really is, because I really think what's interesting about this is the inspiration that comes through a game. And I think one of the things that when we talked off air, we talked about how golf is one of those games you can always still get better at. And there are not a lot of games that really is true. So maybe what I'd like to have you talk about is you're talking about this, that women sometimes are held back from the game of golf. Why is that? What holds women back from really going out there and playing golf?
Well, I think some of it is just lack of experience of knowing how to get started. And so organizations like the Executive Women's Golf Association are great tools in helping people feel more comfortable, more confident about how to get started. What kind of equipment do I need? How do I learn how to play? What are the rules? When you get on the golf course, what's the proper etiquette? So there are ways to learn how to play, but pretty much it's a lack of confidence or just not knowing how to get started is what holds many women back from going on the golf course.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about it in the first section, why to play golf, building relationships, business, social, a good exercise, getting out there, the whole thing. But you mentioned one thing that was interesting. I thought that I'll key in on it, and it was that you're never too old to play golf. I'm going to tell you, some people may argue that point, but why do you say that, and why do you think that you can start even if you're in your, dare say, 50s and or 60s, that golf is okay still to do?
Well, it's really a sport of coordination. So you don't need, like, for men have upper body strength, and so they're going to hit the ball long and far. And women have less of that strength. I mean, there are women who do have great upper body strength, but our natural tendency is to be more of a finesse player. So hitting the shot on the fairway is a great talent. Putting well, some of the chip and pitching shots. And I'm not saying I'm not saying that either gender doesn't do those well, do them well, but there's a tendency for one gender to be more proficient than another in certain areas. So age doesn't really affect that. We have a lot of executives at New Directions who, when they decide to retire, that golf is going to be a main pastime. So now you have more of the time to be able to do it. It takes a lot of time to be on the golf course, and more of the commitment. And by taking lessons or just getting out regularly and practicing as well, you can become fairly good on the golf course, particularly if you had another sport that you played well. You can translate that expertise on the golf course.
Now, you talked about the key point that I think that some people are out there listening and saying, time, right? Time, mm-hmm. because golf is a game that does take time. I mean, the golf I play is usually on the mini golf course, and that darn windmill is my problem. But that's a separate issue altogether. It's the windmill mm-hmm. thing or that big clown mouth. You know, that's what bothers me. But you don't see that on the real golf course out there. Mm-hmm. But time is an issue, and you know, with families and concerns, how do people, you know, manage that time and still become effective and still be good at it?
That's a good question. I think when you're first starting to play, 9 holes on the golf course is plenty, and you also have executive golf courses which are much shorter and test your ability just to hit the ball in a short distance. So you can play that in 1.5 to 2 hours. So for many people where they may want to ease into it or don't have all the time in the beginning, 1.5 to 2 hours is not like a 4 or 6 hour round that you would normally play on a Saturday or Sunday. So yes, it does take time, but if you really find that you like it, you really enjoy that time out on the course, being with friends, playing a game that you love. The weather is usually beautiful. It's very serene. You're in a green, beautiful area with lots of flowers. Sometimes the courses are on the water. So the beauty of the course is also a very pleasant experience, very peaceful. It's a great way to relax as long as you're not frustrated by your own challenges on the golf course.
Well, you know, that's probably true, and certainly I know you have some favorite golf courses. Where are they?
I have many favorite courses. My goal in life is to play as many courses as I can, and a couple of my favorites, one was Torrey Pines in California, which is a municipal course. It's right on the water. It's a challenging course, but it's very beautiful, and Phil Mickelson is known to frequent that course. It's in his neighborhood. So it's a beautiful course. It's affordable, and it's a lot of fun. In Rhode Island, where I live, we have Newport National, which is a links-style course. It has the beautiful white shell drive through the course. There are horseback riders that ride around the perimeter of the course. We have the beautiful view of the ocean. And it's got that long grass that kind of sways in the breeze. It's beautiful. It's challenging. You don't want your ball to go in that grass, but the rest is just a beautiful environment. So those would be two of my top favorites.
Sure, sure. You know, the EWGA, or the Executive Women's Golf Association, you had mentioned that you had founded it there in Rhode Island, but that, I'm sure, is across all of the country, as I think you mentioned. Since this show broadcasts across many of the states in the nation, where could people go and find information on how to become part of this group, part of this program? How do they do that?
Well, they're welcome to call me, and I believe we're going to give contact information.
We are. So they can go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show, or you can certainly go to newdirections.com, or I believe there is a website for the Golf Association itself, ewga.com. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. So if you go on the ewga.com website, there is a function to look at the chapters in your state, and you can see in larger states, there are more than one chapter, so you can look at which chapter is closest to you and contact that chapter and express your interest in wanting to learn more about it.
You know, I said at the kind of towards the middle of the first part of the show that I talk a little about what you do because I think that it correlates so well as to your book, Teeing Up for Success. And again, we're talking with Carol Malis. She is the contributing author for this great book, Teeing Up for Success, presented by the EWJ, or the Zeck and Women's Golf Association Foundation, which you should be buying on Amazon if you're not already doing so right now as we're speaking. But really, you also do some amazing work as VP and executive coach with a company, New Directions, which really helps people with career decisions in their lives. Why don't you talk a little about what you do and how it correlates to the book so well?
Sure. So just like a book, what we do here is help professionals and executives plan for the next chapter in their lives. And we do that by talking with them about where they are now in their lives and careers, where they'd like to be, what their vision is, just like our chapter, and how we might help them navigate that new direction. So sometimes it's someone thinking about, I'd like a new position. And I'd like to know how I can find that new position. Other times, it's a longer-term view of, once I finish my career, I'd like to think about my life, my legacy, giving back, what else I can do to stay engaged. And so we talk to individuals about how they might do that. We call that more of a life portfolio approach, which is looking at your personal life, the financial part of your life, the income-generating part of your life, your health, your family, other interests or aspirations you have, and taking a look at that whole picture and helping people plan for that part of their life. So sometimes we do this in a two-step process where we're working with someone and they're looking for the next career opportunity, but they also want to begin to think about the end of their career and how they might prepare for that. And so we talk about how to seed the future to prepare for that. So we have the short-term look as well as the longer-term look.
No, that's great. I mean, that certainly fits when you really think about this book, Teeing Up for Success, and how life mirrors golf and work mirrors golf. And I'll leave with this one quote, which I think was pretty interesting when you really think about it. It says, one of the most fascinating things about golf is how it reflects the cycle of life. No matter what you shoot, the next day you have to go back to the first tee and begin all over again and make yourself into something. Peter Jacobson. So really does talk about exactly what that is. Each and every day you get up, you go to work, it is what you make it that day. Life is what you make it. And Carol, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. Your book, Teeing Up for Success, I know will be a huge success. And we will certainly have all your information, contact information, on the HRPowerHour.com website right after the show. People can go there quick. We'll even have a link to so that you can buy your book there. How's that? Sound good?
That sounds great. Thank you, Dave.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show very, very much today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB.